Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Now, earlier in the show, I said that I suppose we need a bit of processing time, or I need a bit of processing time from all of the news that has gone on both here and in America over the last week or so. But elsewhere in America, outside of Washington, we know that folks in Los Angeles are still recovering from the fires that caused incredible devastation. And I want to bring you a snippet of a conversation I heard on the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast. It was uploaded, I think, on Tuesday of this week. It's about 45 minutes in duration. And I watched it on YouTube and listened to every single word, because it's a beautiful conversation between Conan O'Brien, his assistant Sona, and their producer Matt, about their personal experience of the fires. Take a listen.
That's the question, is what can we do for you? You know, you're loved. You've got all of us here. Money aside.
Oh.
And money and
I need money.
Money and food.
I need lots. Can I live in your house? Can we all come live in your house?
Can I just set the parameters first?
Oh.
Money aside, food aside, clothing aside.
Oh.
Love and affection aside.
Love and affection aside. Sheltering you in any way at any one of my 19 mansions scattered.
Any further contact aside.
Yeah. Is there anything I can do for you? And also, I'm letting you go.
Oh, no!
Is this a bad time?
No, bad time!
I mean, you might as well pull off the Band-Aid.
Here's what I'm saying.
Girl,
the Band-Aid's mostly torn off.
This.
Let's go the rest of the way.
I need this. I know. I'm like, am I...
I had to make a decision. You were Gorley, and he does so much in the editing.
I've worked for you for so long.
Yeah, but... Conan fires Sona on podcast where she talks about losing her home. I'm looking forward to that headline.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I am really glad your house is, because the Palisades is also very, very scary.
Yeah.
And I really was worried you were going to lose it. And I know you're not attached to the things in your, like you're saying
that
you
are,
but I'm very attached to the things in your house. And I think also if you lost yours, it would overshadow mine a lot. So in a way that I'm like just really happy that you're okay.
I'm going to have mine destroyed. It makes you feel better.
This is the ultimate. I get to talk last thing that you guys do,
yeah,
you know, where
know.
You get the last
oh,
word.
Oh, so you say you lost your house, did you? Well, guess what?
Oh my God.
My leg kind of hurts. So I think I win. You know, you've got us, and we will all help you in any way we can.
Thank you.
And I do think that this is, there's no way to fast forward through this. It's going to be a day-to-day thing for you for quite a while.
I do. I know we talked about Altadena a lot, and we joked about it a lot, but it is a really special place.
Yeah.
It was an incredible place to raise my kids. Mm-hmm. And I hope we find a way to get back there. Even after all this, I just, I've lived in LA my whole life, and I was just, that's the happiest I've ever been.
Right.
So I just want to make sure people know it's a really incredible place. It's an incredible community. The people there are just amazing. The way that also Los Angeles is just banded together is,
yes,
as someone who is from here, and girls, I know you're from here too. It's really inspiring. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that is a snippet from Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. That is Conan's assistant Sona talking about losing her home in the LA fires. They also link to different organizations that you can support if you do have a few quid to help with the recovery operations in Altadena and elsewhere in Los Angeles. But it just jumped out at me. We have this is a bit inside baseball now, but we have this phrase of, you know, a Hoover stopping moment. So something that you hear that kind of makes you stop in your tracks, I guess. And that conversation for me was absolutely a Hoover stopping moment. You can watch the full thing up on YouTube, or you can listen to the podcast. It's just called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Now, one of my favorite events of the year is taking place in the RDS in Dublin on the 6th of February. It is called I Wish, and it is a fantastic initiative to encourage young girls into the world of STEM. So be that science, technology, engineering, or maths. And I was delighted to catch up with Caroline O'Driscoll, who's one of the co-founders. And she started off by telling me a little bit more about the event.
Sure. So I Wish is a social enterprise that we set up 11 years ago now to empower teenage girls to pursue STEM careers. And I suppose it started off as, our flagship event is a conference and exhibition. The conference piece is about putting female role models on the stage to tell their story. And the exhibition piece is showing girls what it's like to work in STEM. We've had 70,000 girls now through the program over the last 11 years. And we've expanded into lots of different things throughout the year. Tech for Good program. We now go into primary schools. We've mentorship programs. So it has expanded quite significantly over that period of time.
I know, and it's very frustrating when it happens, but I know that there'll be people who eye roll at the concept of having events like this just for girls. But can you just paint a picture of the tech sector and why you felt there was a need and an opportunity for something such as I Wish here in Ireland?
Yeah, so I go back 11 years and I was involved in kind of a lot of organizations locally around kind of industry clusters for tech and that. And one of the big issues that was emerging at that time was around talent. And there was not enough talent in tech, and Ireland wasn't able to attract enough talent. And I was on the board of a group called IT at Cork. I eventually chaired it. And I'm looking around the room saying, well, where are all the women? And started to research it a bit and got the statistics from the colleges in Ireland. And in the previous 10 years, so I'm looking now between, like, say, 2004 and in 2014, the female participation in the likes of engineering and tech was just 15%. But what was most worrying, actually, was that it hadn't moved at all in the previous 10 years. So when I looked around, what was the kind of programs that were working in Ireland, what was happening in Ireland, lots were focused on women in business and women in the workplace. But actually, for us, I think it was clear that the pipeline was leaky. And that really was a genesis of I Wish. We kind of said, well, there's an intervention needed here because actually it hasn't improved in the last 10 years. So we do need something focused on girls to try and change the dial.
And were there easy wins or low-hanging fruit when it came to addressing some of those issues? Like I know myself, and it's funny, during the week I was doing a bit of a clear out and I found some of my leaving cert notes and my school diaries from when I was in secondary school. And I can kind of see the subjects that I did in school, but they weren't very technically minded. And I suppose there was that preconceived notion or that stereotype, I guess, that there were certain subjects in schools aimed towards girls, some that were aimed towards boys, and that was the height of it. Was that one of the obvious low-hanging fruits that existed back 11 years ago when you started, or was there something bigger at play?
I think stereotypes were alive and well for sure. And you can still see to this day in terms of, the participation of girls in certain subjects, like physics, like technology, like engineering, is still quite male dominated. I think the trick for us, and we did focus groups very early on, and actually the first thing that came out of that, it wasn't really about subject choices at all. It was about role models and what girls were telling us, 15, 16 years of age, we just don't see enough role models in STEM. When we look up, it's usually men we see. This girl from Emma from Bandon said that to me. And it really struck a chord. And that was actually the easy win because we said, well, actually, we do know women in STEM. We just need them to tell their story. And that's where we came up with the conference element. We said, okay, we're going to have these women on the stage to tell their story. And that piece, it just hit a note. It really, really was so impactful. I think things like subject choices in schools, it's really important to address this. But it takes a long time to change that. And for us, that easy win was role models and getting those women on the stage.
Yeah, we've seen great work being done in the sports sphere as well. The 20 by 20 campaign is the one that instantly springs to mind. We're seeing more and more women, on programs like our own Off the Ball. We're seeing brilliant presenters coming out like our own Kathleen McNamee. And that thing of if you can see it, you can be it. It really does seem to resonate, particularly with the younger generations as well, when they are consuming so much media, to see women out there in the field of interest, or perhaps something that they have never contemplated, really does seem to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And it resonates so strongly with them. And the sport is interesting. Like we have Phil Healy now speaking at the event this year, one of our relay runners. She's also a software engineer, which is amazing. But again, it's allowing people like that or giving the opportunity for women like that to tell their story. And these young girls, they respond so strongly to it. Like when we do our survey, we survey the girls every year because it's such a huge data set for us. And consistently, we ask them, what are the things that would change the dial for you? And nearly 60% say we need more role models to visit our schools. They are crying out for this. They want to see these women and they want to hear their stories.
One thing that I've been struck by over the, I think I'm in News Talk 16 or 17 years now, and over that time, one thing that struck me the more I get involved in the tech sector is that the stereotype of a person who works in technology no longer exists because the roles, the stereotypical roles of people working within the tech sector no longer exists. So yes, you still have coders and you've programmers, but you also have people working in HR, in creative design, in AI application, and it does require every sort of role. So if you are, or if your child is doing the Leaving Cert and maybe they're incredibly interested in the arts, that doesn't discount them from working in the STEM sphere. Sure, it doesn't.
Pretty not. And like we've had over the years like a created zone that I wish to absolutely bring that alive. You think of your graphic design, you think of customer experience is really, really important. When we started with I wish, AI wasn't even a concept. AR, VR was very early stages and it has evolved very, very quickly. And it does need, such a broad spectrum of talent in the tech sector. And I'd also say, we talk about the tech sector, but tech, it permeates every part of our lives now. You see it in sport, you see it in food, you see it in finance. So it's pervasive in every single kind of platform business sector that we look at. You young people are online a lot, they shop online. They're all driven by platforms in terms of online marketplaces. So it really has permeated nearly every industry. And I suppose for us, that's why we have the exhibition piece, because we try and bring that to life. So we bring the companies in to show them what they're doing. Because I think one of the gaps we have with schools is the curriculum doesn't necessarily match over to here's the exciting opportunities that exist in STEM. They don't see it. They can't relate maths or physics or engineering in the classroom to that fantastic job. And that's where we come in to try and bring that to life.
And just talk to me a little bit about then this year's event. So it's taking place in February once again. What you alluded to one of the speakers there, but who else is going to speak on the day, and what companies or what roles will be showcased in the exhibition space?
Yeah, so like we spoke about Phil Healy, we have Zoe Hyde, who's one of our Olympic rowers, and then we have a host of women from companies that are participating, like Deloitte, Dell Technologies, Johnson & Johnson, the pharma space, and Merck, engineering companies, Qualcomm, Cisco there. So such a really broad spectrum. We have a food science cluster this year, which we're excited about. Carberry and Dawn Meats are coming in again to bring that element of food and technology to it. Sport Ireland are involved again, showing the analytics in sport or the physics in terms of how to optimize performance, or even just down to the design of running shoes and how that impacts. So a real range of kind of speakers. The construction industry have a quite a strong presence, because like engineering, it's not just about building roads or building houses. The advancements of technologies like 3D modeling, robotics, all the technology aspects that now the construction industry have fully embraced, that's going to be there. And we have some fun stuff too. We have a giant Jenga game there just to show like what problem solving means in engineering. So some really cool stuff, really with the ambition to bring STEM and the full ambit of STEM to life.
You mentioned there that this is, you've been going now for 11 years. Have you stayed in touch with any of the young participants who might have been at the first or second year of I Wish to follow them through and to see the impact of attending events like this?
Yes, and that's been a lovely, I would say, unintended consequence of I Wish, because we never imagined this, but we do keep in contact with them. We've created an alumni community and it's really, really special. And we track these women. Some of them are in college, many are now in the workforce. And what's lovely is they kind of pay it forward through this alumni program. So this year, for example, or sorry, last year, we piloted a primary school program where we matched some of that alumni with their old primary school and created a program to bring them back into the classroom. We had an I Wish watch party. And that was just amazing to see, this 25-year-old woman who went to I Wish 50, 10 years ago, didn't know what she was going to do, and now she's a software engineer and she's telling that story to a 12-year-old in her old school. It's extremely special It's an absolutely fantastic community. So they're a real core part of what we do. And they will be volunteers at the event in RDS next month. So it's a really special community.
My final question, I suppose, relates to you started by saying the importance of role models. And I guess I know a lot of women working in the tech space and they're doing incredible things, but they wouldn't necessarily see themselves as role models or want to put themselves forward as a role model. That comes back to, I think, one of the key areas, which is confidence in young girls, women, and if it's not addressed, you know, middle-aged women. How do we go about addressing that to ensure that they're not afraid to lend their voice? They're not afraid to go back to their primary school or their secondary school and talk to the young girls and women, and indeed the boys that are there now?
I think it's about support and mentorship. And you're quite right. Again, in our survey last year, 53% of teenage girls said they lacked confidence in their ability to pursue a STEM career. Now, what I would say on the positive side, when we started surveying, that was as high as 80%. So things are improving. But actually to think that, like, you know, sitting in a classroom, half of the girls are thinking that they can't, that really gets at the heartstrings. An interesting one this year, when we looked at primary schools, 24% of 12-year-olds are saying they're confident in their 24% of 12-year-olds are saying they're not confident in their ability. So in other words, 76% are expressing confidence, much higher than teens. So there's something happening and we're not quite sure what. Confidence levels are dipping between tween and teen. And we're going to work with our survey this year and our partners in UCC to see if we can ask more questions around that to probe it. But there is something happening there. We speak a lot about confidence, and at the I Wish event, our speakers do. We talk to girls about, you know, being anything, doing anything, but like how to make that a practical reality is, you know, programs like I Wish, our primary school program, and getting them involved in it. We had a lovely little stat coming from our own data. If a girl attends three or more extracurricular STEM events, she's more likely to do STEM subjects to her Leaving Cert. Mm-hmm. So there's a direct correlation between going to a STEM event, and whether that's an I Wish or a BT Young Scientist, and actually doing STEM. So I think it's exposure, it's mentorship, it's support, and just keep talking to young women about those barriers and acknowledging the barriers are there and how we break them down.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, if you want more information about the event, you can head to iwish.ie. Karen, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thank you.